Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Monday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with all of you. I'm Woodsy, that's Italian Paul, a.k.a. Frank Marchese. Morning IP. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin, your children are not in school. Well, they're in school, but they're not in elementary school, in middle school, and high school.
No, the level they're at is called college.
College.
Now. Yeah.
Which is a different feeling for a parent.
It is.
Our beloved Scott Lewis, voice of San Diego. Love Scott so much.
I had Scott on recently.
I would love to catch up with him.
Get him on at some point.
Scott, if you're listening, call in 833-288-0973, because I'm about to light you up here on the radio. The
Better call it fast.
Better call it fast, bro. Tweeted this morning, first day of school at SD Schools, August 12th, is too early. And I thought about it to myself, and I said, well, I then am a terrible, terrible father. Because I couldn't be more ready to get these dudes in their school clothes and get them back to school ASAP. And that comes for us tomorrow. Bo starts first grade tomorrow, which is crazy. And normally, I was talking to my wife about it last night. I said I kind of made a promise that I'd never miss his first day of school. But I have to go back on that promise, Benny. I can't leave tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning to drive back to Encinitas to walk him into first grade. So I'm not going to. I'll just make him a little video or something. But, yeah, he starts in. Taylor still has another week off, which is great. The staggered scene. So he's off this week. But Bo actually starts back tomorrow. Why would that be? Why is August 12th too early? It is earlier than it when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was like Labor Day. So we had the whole month of August was still summer.
But you probably went to school later into June before your summer started. I don't think they're going to school more than they used to. I don't think we've added school days to the calendar. It's just where they end up getting their break and when it starts and when it ends.
I believe Bo got out in June.
So maybe they've added more holidays during the year.
During the year.
During the year somewhere.
There's a lot of those.
Okay, so, you know, at some point, I know in the state of California, I don't know what the number of days is, but they have to go to school however many days during the year. And then different school districts can split those up however they like. You can do a longer summer, you can do a shorter summer with a longer, you know, winter break and spring breaks, you know, throughout the year. But eventually they're going to get the right number in that everybody else gets in the state of California. So whatever your school district is, if you want to take it up with them and you'd like them to, you know, start later in the, you know, come back later in the summer or earlier in the summer, you're fine with it, though. You're glad they're going back right now.
Yes, I love them, and it's been great to be around Is that Scott Lewis?
Yes, it is.
Son of a... Look at that. All right. I got to hear this. This is amazing.
I have to say something here.
Yeah.
We have one Mr. Yeah. Scott Lewis on the line.
Good.
Yeah.
Here, so let's I'll pot him up right now.
And my first question is, did you hear the call or did somebody like text you immediately?
Somebody called me, but I was listening when I dropped my kid off at school. And then I just got back from that. I got my coffee and I got the call.
Congrats on your freedom. Congrats on your newfound freedom that you got. All right. So tell me your reasoning behind it's too early. Is there just too much time for yourself now on this fine Monday?
He likes his kids.
He loves his kids.
Spend more time with them.
Yeah. Summertime. Actually, when they're older, it is a lot more fun to be around them. But also, it's August 12th. Look, if it was some like a year-round school thing or whatever, I understand they have a different schedule.
Right.
But August 12th is like, it's still the hottest part of summer. It's still beach summertime. It's not going to school time, and it's just too early. It's too early. I'm sorry,
Scotty. I was pushing for July 4th to get them back in school. Nobody listens.
But in San Diego, I think Scott's right. In San Diego, we got May gray and June gloom.
Yeah,
you might as well
good
go
point.
To school until the 4th of July.
Yes,
start summer there, and then not come back until mid September.
That's
or
a good
something.
Point. That's a good. You guys make a good point. As long as it's it's a couple months.
That's the San Diego optimized model of schooling would be to start school September 30th.
Wow.
Start school September 30th and end it in like late June, early July because of the May gray. Like you'd optimize all of the air conditioning and stuff like that. And then the great summer when the tourists are all gone are still something you can participate in. That's the optimized San Diego calendar that they'll never listen to.
They never will listen to it. It's just hard, like doing this job, right? And after I'm done with the show, I like to go home and have a little me time. And there has been no me time this summer. I get home and it's like, yeah, all right, off to the street we go. And I'm hitting Fungos and run, down to Jersey Mike's to get a sandwich every single day. And it's from 10:30 until 8 o'clock at bedtime. So I get up at 4, and it's 4 to 8 p.m. of like a full-time job, Scotty, and I love them. They've both grown so much this summer. It's been incredible to be able to spend time with them. I'm done. I'm officially done. I'm done.
I get it. But it does switch to where instead of like just running around and exhausted all the time with them, like they'll hang out with you and they'll go surfing with you or something, and it's super fun. And it's just like, it's not just like you sort of keeping up with them. It's different. And I guess that's what I'm nostalgic for. It's just like, it's a good time now.
How old are yours?
11 and 13.
Yeah,
sixth and eighth now.
That's different. The 6-year old is pretty easy. The 3-year old that I have now for the next week is going to be, that's a real, him solo is rough.
There's only a limited time with that. I mean, I get it. They're great, but. Yeah, it's a little different.
So the other benefit here, and Scott, I think you'd agree with me, if you pushed it all back and kids had September off, you could also take advantage of vacations when other kids are in school and then, hotels aren't as expensive or as crowded.
True.
You go in mid-September when everyone's back at school and all of a sudden you've got your pick of wherever you want to go and it's not like that busy and you can go on more family vacations at that point.
Dude, they would save millions on air conditioning bills. They could use that to make things better.
Yeah.
And then everybody could have great vacations at Yosemite and whatever. And then they go to school when it's like the coolest time. It's like the June gloom. You don't have to worry about going to the beach and stuff because nobody wants to when it's that dark. Like, come on. I'm into it. So I'm glad that you guys agree. Let's go.
I like where your head's at. And I'm down for, let's keep the summer, though, like 2 months. We don't need a 3 to 4 month summer. I will lose. I will. See how much gray? Look at my beard. Look at my beard right now. I look like.
Have you not discovered camps? You got to tell
me. They've done the camps, but.
Bro, we've done 1,000. They're $500 each. And it's like, oh my God, dude. I spent $40,000 this summer.
You know what we should do next summer? Ben and Woods Radio Camp.
Ben and Woods Camp.
Where people drop their kids off here.
Oh, that sounds
during
great.
The summer.
That
they
sounds.
Run around. We charge $500 each for the week. And we just have a bunch of kids
running around like lunatics.
During the show.
Look at my beard right now. I look like Dr. Richard Kimball right now. Like, seriously, they're absolutely killing me. They're killing me, Scotty, but I love them. I love them so much. I know you love your kids too. Thank you for calling in. Keep up the great work on Voice of San Diego. I know you do such a great job, man. So thank you for calling in. Yeah. We always appreciate
you. Guys.
All right, go Padres.
Thank you, Scott. Tyler says, Camp 97.3. Adam will be our chief camp counselor. He'll be in charge of making sure that the kids don't damage the equipment.
Hey, could you not do that? Hey, you can't color.
We'll get the sales. We'll get the sales staff in with some entertaining. You know, make it your own. You know, we'll have kids. Yeah, here's a spot to record for. Lone Pronto. Make it your own. Kids.
Here's some bullet points. Just make it your own. Hey, I need you guys to quiet down, Adam.
We're going to have sits through some staff meetings in our riveting sound space with Michael. That'll be great.
Adam has three kids at home, and he just put in the chat, my kids need to go back to school stat. I've had conversations with Adam from home, and it sounds like, I'm like, bro, is everything okay over there? What is happening? So I love Scott Lewis. I get what he's saying. Yeah, a 13-year-old and 11-year-old, honestly, you're probably not ready for those dudes to go back to school. You're probably not. You probably like having them around. You know they're safe. You know, you got your eye on them. A 6-year-old and a 3-year-old is a little bit different. It's a little bit different. And I am so proud of mine.
You are in the most exhausting phase.
I'm exhausted, man.
Maybe not the most stressful, but definitely the most exhausting phase of parenting.
It's exhausting. Straight up. Got you some watermelon. I don't like watermelon. Ate watermelon yesterday. I want pineapple. Well, here's pineapple. I don't like pineapple. And you just go nuts all the time.
When they're babies, you have to wake up in the night.
That's so easy, though.
But they can't move, you know? If you don't move them,
they don't move.
They're there. You've got them in a car seat. You got them in a crib. But once they start moving around, there's really no chance to rest. You can childproof as much as you want. You have to watch them every second between, 3 and 7 or 8. But once they get, 9, 10, 11, all right, they can play on their own a little bit more. They're a little bit more cool to interact with because they're starting to become people. And, Scott Lewis is in that age.
He is. That's a fun one. That'll be fun for me when my kids are 11 and 9. That'll be a good age.
And then they get older and they're very easy, but you worry more.
Yeah, you worry all the time.
They get their driver's license and you're just constantly worried about what they're doing when you can't see them.
Well, shout out to all the parents that'll be sending their kids off to school. I wanted to do this. We did this last year. And one gal tweeted me yesterday, but if you're a teacher, I know it can be a little bit difficult. You have to buy your own supplies and things like that. So if you're a teacher and you have a list, an Amazon list, tweet us at Ben and Woods or at the Stephen Woods or at Ben Higgins, and we'll retweet it, maybe help out a little bit when we can. It's not like an official fundraiser, but it's something we did last year. I finally, at the age of 49, and I think I got it last year at the age of 48, finally have the utmost respect for teachers. Why? Because I had kids. And I realized what you guys do is absurd. And whatever you make is not enough to deal with all of the things that you have to deal with. Not only the kids and their weird behavior and their weird habits, but it's the parents who are awful. It is the administration. It is the red tape. It's all of it. So I have such a respect for teachers that I never had before I had kids. And if you guys have wish lists and things you need for your classroom, please send them to us. We will do our very best to get the word out there and, retweet them and all that. So we love you guys. Thank you for taking care of our kids. And I just really respect you a lot now. Finally.
All right. We've got in-season Sammy coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's got his thoughts. Talk to Mike Winters about the Ha-Sung Kim home run ruling. If you missed it earlier, we'll talk more about that. Gave us our thoughts, which were essentially, they got the call right, unfortunately, but the rule doesn't feel like it's written the right way. That it should be a home run, even though it isn't a home
run. Now, somebody tweeted us, let's see, Roma 13 said they did not get it right. This morning, even the MLB Central cast hashed it out and all agreed it was a homer.
So, how?
I don't know. I think by the letter of the law, it's a rule book double.
I think so as well. But again, there's enough confusion and gray area that Major League Baseball needs to do something at the very least to clarify the rule and make it less ambiguous as to what it really means to hit the wall or the top of the wall, and what does coming back toward the field mean? I thought, to me, anything that hits upward should be like fair play. And that ball, even though it came backwards, it was also going up. And if the ball is still in the air and going up, to me, it should be in play. Now, if it hits the wall and it's just coming straight down and somehow they bat it upwards and over the wall, that may be different. But Major League Baseball needs to do a rule clarification here.
Does the ability to rob a home run do anything for you based on the letter of the law and the flight? So you can actually use the wall to climb up, time it over the wall, which is the imaginary line, and that's not a home run. You made a spectacular catch. They're going to award you an out.
It feels like if you're able to take that reward of pulling it back, you're also taking a risk
punishment
when you go up, and somehow you knock it over. Now,
yeah,
if you do knock it over without it touching the wall, that is a home run. That's true. Jose Canseco style. That is true, but I think Major League Baseball has some clarifications to issue, at least before next season, on that, because there's no reason a game should be decided by a confusing situation.
Agreed.
In the ninth inning on a is it a home run, is it not a home run situation. All right, we'll take a time out. We'll come back. More Padres talk. In-season Sammy on the way as well. First, a quick check of traffic with Kelly on 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just catching our lead game, Maggie and Perloff on the way in this morning, and I was surprised because they both gave positive reviews to the debut of Olympic breakdancing. And I didn't see it. I mean, I saw it, but yes, they are athletic, and I can't do it, and most of you can't do what they were doing.
They banged it already, didn't they?
It's not going to be in the games next in Los Angeles.
Should tell you.
They had already decided before it even started, though.
Okay.
These games, they weren't going to put it in. Now, it might be back in Brisbane in 2032. They just don't have it on the docket for Los Angeles. I thought it was more meme-worthy than actual.
Yeah.
Competition. I don't know. It didn't feel right for me that didn't feel like an Olympic event. Now, some people said, why is synchronized swimming any different? I mean, they're just...
It's very difficult. Breaking
is difficult, and it is more of a, you know, a dance routine. I mean, you could have cheerleading in the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, they have competitive cheerleading. What is and what isn't an Olympic sport can be a difficult line to draw. I understand. But for me, I just, maybe it's the age thing. I saw a couple of minutes and I go, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it. We did get a bronze. B-Boy Victor took bronze for the United States in the initial breaking competition at Paris.
The Australia woman was incredible. Incredible. Made for a lot of funny Twitter jokes. She wasn't really supposed to be there. And that was an interesting part of it. But yeah, congratulations. Really well done. U.S. bringing home a lot of medals, a ton of medals. Great. Until next time.
It was, some people made fun of me for saying I'm tired of the Olympics. I'm ready. 2 weeks seems like a long time. But I did say I was looking forward to the team finals. Women's soccer got it done with a 1-0 win.
Woo!
On Saturday. Men's basketball, that was
done.
A fantastic finish. Steph
Curry. I
watched
the last...
Did you see Steph Curry go off at the end?
Right at the end. I missed.
You missed that part?
I saw like 30 seconds left.
Well,
I flipped over.
He had made four consecutive three-pointers.
Yeah, and I saw the highlights. It was incredible.
He made one that was amazing, then crazy, then insane, and then unbelievable, like order.
I did hear the French broadcasters were like literally like
he's
calling him the devil.
He's the devil.
Yeah. So great.
And then the women's game, the basketball final yesterday was entertaining, came down to a... You know, the team that has not lost in 60 straight games had won seven straight Olympic golds, going for their eighth, but they're only up three. Final seconds, France throws up, you know, at the buzzer, it banks in, but Her foot was on the line. Two-pointer instead of a three. France loses by one. Heartbreaking for the host country, but the U.S. Did very well at these Olympic Games. And it was between the venues, the Eiffel Tower, the, you know, all the different things that they set up in France on the Seine River. One of the best Olympics of my lifetime, I will say.
Now, Seabass went well. Seabass in the chat says his homie is, what's the name, Victor B-Boy?
B-Boy Victor.
B-Boy Victor says his homie is B-Boy Victor. He won USA Bronze. It should be in the L.A. Olympics. It does make sense to have it in the L.A. Olympics, right? Because that kind of...
Southern California, yeah, breakdancing.
You feel like that they could do... I've seen people on the street, like on Hollywood Boulevard, breakdancing. They're absolutely incredible. Incredible.
I wonder if some of those were the... ended up being the athletes at the Olympics.
You never know, man. Never know. But, yeah, it was... my wife cried a lot when the closing ceremonies ended. She loves the Olympics so much. She is making plans to go next time that it's when it's in L.A. And I thought about it and the anxiety of what L.A. traffic's going to be. It breaks my brain. But you actually said...
The plan is zero-car Olympics is what L.A. is saying.
Okay.
They want no personal automobiles going to any events. It's all going to be trains and buses. And not any parking at any of the venues. I know last time in 1984, they did such a good job of getting everyone ready. Like, the Olympics are going to be here. Traffic planned for it. No one was on the roads at all in 1984. You could drive like the 405. It was empty during the Olympics.
If you live in L.A., if you live there, and you know the Olympics is coming to town, you split.
Yeah.
You take off. You go
work from home, go on vacation, leave town, Airbnb
it.
Out your house, get out of there, you know, take advantage of all the tourists coming in, whatever it is. But you got 4 years to plan for it.
Yeah.
Well, you had more years than that, but now you've got 4 years to plan for it. And hopefully it'll go off as well as the Paris did. They got a high bar to clear.
No question.
And the difference with the LA Games is they're not building any venues. They're just going to use what they've
got.
But they have plenty of stadiums. I think SoFi is like opening, closing ceremonies and some events, but track and field is going to be at the Coliseum, historic, you know, around at the track. Obviously, they've got plenty of arenas. They'll have the new Clippers Arena to go with, you know, Lakers, the
Crypto,
and then they've got plenty of venues all over the place.
The Beef says the golf is going to be at the Riviera
Country Club.
All right. I could be convinced to go up to watch Olympic golf at the Riv.
Surfing will be huge. Skateboarding will be huge.
Be massive.
With a lot of local athletes, obviously. Some of those events as well.
Somebody said maybe Thumb Wars should
in
be
the Olympics?
Olympics.
What's the strategy? All right.
One, two, three, four. I declare.
This doesn't really work if the Thumb War is not on camera, guys.
Oh, God,
drags him over.
He's trying to get leverage on me with his meaty hands. Sneak attack there. You? Can I sneak attack you?
I had you. Oh, one, two, three. Just sneak attack.
That's a foul.
For the foul. Win.
I want replay. I'm throwing the challenge flag. Go to New York. He used the index finger to trap me.
I actually took a big snort of Vicks right before I did that.
Performance enhancers. That was unauthorized.
Legendary radio, by the way.
Thank you.
I would go to the video, but...
There's not any.
You were nowhere near the camera.
We tried to move it over to the camera at the end.
The end.
What? Radio Thumb Wars is kind of like radio charades that we tried a few years ago as well?
We did it wrong. There's a way to do it. I've done it. It's really, really good. Now, the Olympics are over. U.S. cleaned up. Congratulations. Go America.
Yeah. Bill says the Clippers joint will be for basketball. I mean, they'll need multiple venues, I would think, for some of the main team events. So we'll see. And then, of course, you know, baseball is going to be back in the Olympics, but no decisions yet on whether Major League Baseball players will be in it or not. But they're certainly talking about it. And if they can work it out logistically, we'll see what that looks like. But it would certainly be exciting.
It'd be great. It'd be great. So, looking forward to it. 4 years from now, a lot can happen between now and then. But Paris did a great job. Like you said, a very, very high bar to clear for L.A.
All right, when we come back, in-season Sammy joins us. Sam Levitt, host of our EcoWater pregame show and postgame shows for Padres baseball. Here on 97.3 The Fan, he talked to Mike Winters, the umpire on the postgame show yesterday. I get all the updates, the reaction after the Padres finish a 5-1 road trip yesterday. It's Ben and Woods back with Sam Levitt next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This should be Sammy's theme song, actually.
Why do you say that?
Working man.
Oh, okay.
Guy's always grinding. Always grinding.
I mean, at least no rain delays in this series.
Yeah.
But two extra inning affairs. Yeah, it was a long road trip for Sam Levin.
It really was.
Day today at the end of it.
Nope.
Just right into a three-game homestand against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sammy Levin is standing by. We will chat with in-season Sammy right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Our baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Well, I said it earlier, but I want to say it to his face, or at least his voice,
to his
as
ears.
He joins us, to his ears. Great job on especially yesterday's post-game show, Sammy, in taking the calls, getting Mike Winters on to explain the ruling on the Ha-Sung Kim non-home run. It was a confusing situation for everybody involved, and I thought you handled it really, really well. So good job.
Well, thank you very much. And obviously it was a confusing play and a confusing situation, and I thought Mike came on and did a really nice job in explaining it. And I'm lucky to have Mike as a contact because he's at the ballpark a lot and obviously has done a bit of stuff on Padres TV this year. But he did a great job coming on and really, I think, making the point and making it clear to me and the audience that the key part of that ball coming off the wall yesterday was the redirection, or at least what the replay room saw in New York, the redirection of the ball back towards the field of play, which quote-unquote meant it wasn't in flight anymore. And that was sort of the, I think the thing to understand, redirection. And again, I still think there's a lot of gray area on this because you heard me ask, and I know you guys played it earlier, if that ball just pops straight up in the air and Stowers ends up knocking it over, what is the call? And, look, I think they got the call right in Miami. I'm still a little confused on certain situations and certain ways that ball comes off the fence on what the call would be. And then I saw all the different plays circulating on Twitter yesterday, and it confused me because there's clearly been plays in this game in the past that have looked not identical to that one, but have been even worse as far as the ball heading back over the fence once it hits the fence and touches a fielder, and those were ruled home runs. So I'm still a little confused about it this morning. I suppose the gripe from a Padres perspective that I would have would be, number one, could the replay room in New York say with 100% certainty that that ball was coming back towards the field of play? I guess you could look at it this way. And look, I know you had somebody in your chat earlier that talked about MLB Central and MLB Network, and I actually went and watched what Mark DeRosa and I think it was Sean Casey had to say, and I thought they made a fair point too. I think it's not a great rule. Like, that feels like a home run, and it probably should be a home run. So I think it's fair for Padres fans this morning to be upset because it feels like something that should have been a home run that wasn't, and unfortunately a bad break that didn't go the Padres' way.
Yeah, no question about it. You've had some interesting calls lately, Sammy. I was brought to my attention. You're getting some calls about, hey, Fernando Tatis Jr., if he comes back, is he going to ruin the vibe of the San Diego Padres moving forward? And, I will always submit that, and I don't think this makes me a genius, but getting good players back is always better than not getting good players back. And you let the chips fall where they may, and if you've watched Fernando with his teammates in the clubhouse or like in the dugout cheering for, when he's been around the team, the dude is as bought in as anybody. I just submit that narrative kind of needs to go away. And again, I said it earlier. I know what the numbers are. I know what the numbers say, the records and all that. But again, getting a player of his caliber back healthy and ready for a stretch run, I think is only going to help us. I hope it doesn't come back to bite me in the ass, but I will stand by the fact that getting a really good player with MVP potential is inherently a good thing.
Yeah, and I think the part that really stunned me on Friday, and look, we take a lot of calls post-game, and honestly, when the team's playing as well as they're playing right now, the phone lines light up. They do, and I will sit there for an hour and a half, and I will take phone calls for a good half hour, 40 minutes of it, and we'll roll through it because that's my job. I was stunned to get a couple of those calls on Friday night, and I even said at the time, like, this is what some of you are focusing on right now with how well things are going.
Right.
So, look, I find the argument sort of ridiculous. I mean, in a big spot, season on the line, who do you want up there? I think Fernando is very, very high on that list. So I think in every way, shape, and form, getting him back is going to be a huge boost for this team. And look, you know, with their situation in right field right now, you have a guy that is not playing that is, you know, when he's healthy and when he's going right, no doubt, hands down, an MVP caliber talent. And on top of that, just to go back to any kind of narrative of that, again, I wasn't here for it, but I don't know. They did pretty great in 2020, and he was a big part of it. A lot of 2021, I mean, he was playing like an MVP, and they were winning a lot of games. So for all those reasons, I find any kind of narrative like that pretty silly, and you cannot convince me, and I know you guys feel the same, that there is any bad part about getting a guy back that is capable of doing what he's doing, both offensively and defensively. They need him. They really do.
Big time.
This is dumb. I mean, you have to look at who he's replacing as well. If you're saying, yeah, I have to take Jackson Merrill or Jerkson Profar out of the lineup,
sure, that's a problem.
Okay, we can have a discussion. You're taking Bryce Johnson out of the lineup. I mean, even David Peralta, who's hitting well. I don't mind easing Tatis back in, and against occasional righties, give Peralta a day and, you know, Tatis can DH or take a day off. I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine with that. But when you're saying, is it Tatis or Bryce Johnson? We're not having this discussion. And I will admit, yes, Tatis, when things have gone poorly in the past, the body language can be bad, kind of can look a little mopey after he strikes out. But when the Padres are playing well, he doesn't care. As long as the team is playing well.
Winning.
Yeah, if they're all losing and he's striking out, yeah, he can get a little mopey sometimes. So what? They're all unhappy when they're losing. As long as they're winning, he only adds positivity to the vibes of the San Diego Padres. This isn't a discussion. This isn't something we should be talking about or taking seriously.
Yeah.
It's only good news when Fernando Tatis Jr. returns to the lineup. End of rant.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
As Chris makes the point, though, Ben, Bryce Johnson is a switch hitter.
That's right.
As we just discovered last week, I think.
Yes. Maybe, I don't want to say concerning, but certainly the exhaustion of the Padres bullpen over this road trip and how much they had to be used. Not totally their fault. Obviously, the rain delay, the extra innings all play a part in it. But we've seen a more aggressive GMing from A.J. Preller. And are you expecting more of that going forward with guys pretty much getting called up and sent down on a daily basis to reinforce that bullpen?
Yeah, look, it's definitely possible. I mean, right? I mean, we've seen it now for a few days. Johnny Brito comes up, and by the way, what a big role he had in the win on Saturday. I mean, I don't know if they win that game if he doesn't give you two innings and a third scoreless, but you're right. 24 hours later, he was back down to AAA, and Sean Reynolds was up, and Sean Reynolds pitched yesterday and pitched an inning. Could he go down today? I would assume it's possible. I don't know that for sure, but there's also the factor today specifically, and you're right, there's been a very aggressive GMing and roster moves, but today in particular with Joe, you know, going probably a max of 60 pitches, you can almost guarantee that you're going to need a big day out of your bullpen. So I don't know it for sure. It would not shock me at all, though, to see another move, another guy optioned, and they keep on replenishing the arms in that bullpen as they don't have an off day until Thursday. So it's a great point, Ben, and it's something I'd keep an eye on later in the day because I certainly don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities, especially today, because you know today with your starting pitcher in Joe, even if he can give you four innings, really good innings, I mean, it's going to be a max of 60 pitches. So could we see somebody like an Alec Jacob now back up or somebody else back up? We'll see. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I just, you know, there's a couple of guys that that you just don't know, like Carl Edwards Jr. I mean, is he going to be backing up Joe Musgrove? He hasn't pitched in a few days. It didn't go well when he did. So is it Brian Hoeing? I mean, there's a lot of options, yeah. But, you know, the options need to be effective. Again, offense needs to continue to do what they're doing and put balls in play, score runs. But really, Sammy, the defense has got to be shored up, as I learned earlier, shored up. You know, they got to figure it out. And with Kimmy, it's like, I really don't care what you do with the stick, man. You got to be the gold glove defense that we, you know, have come to rely on.
Yeah, and it's a good point. Look, yesterday, unfortunately, not only did that home run, or not home run, the ground rule double, rather, not only did that prevent the Padres from tying the game, but it also prevented Ha-Sung Kim from having a bit of redemption for himself.
No doubt.
In the ninth inning yesterday. I mean, it was a rough day for Kim yesterday. He struck out three times before that. He had committed the error back in the second inning that opened the door on a routine ground ball. Arise was given the error on the second play of that inning, but it wasn't a throw that was really, you know, super on target from Ha-Sung Kim. And I think, as we all know, it's been a rougher offensive season, and, you know, the defense has been shakier, certainly, than it was the last couple of years. But, you know, look, I know there's been a lot of talk about Solano and Kim and getting Solano in there more. Look, they've shown to this point, and we've now got a little bit more than 40 games to go. I mean, they've shown, you know, no signs of there being a major shakeup there, right, as far as Kim's playing time. And I really don't believe that's coming. And you guys mentioned it earlier, and again, I'm kind of taking your Kim question and taking it in a different direction. But, you know, I think one thing, whether you want to talk about Solano's role and how good he's been in this particular role, or even like a Jackson Merrill, you know, the idea of, hey, maybe it's time to move him up in the lineup. You know, I think when things are going as well as they've gone for this team, there is a degree of, hey, just keep guys sure doing what they're doing. Merrill's really succeeded where he is. Solano has been so good off the bench. And again, I know it's been a conversation point with Kim and Solano's playing time, or what you would do, would Kim's playing time go down? To this point, we've got 40-plus games to go. There have been really, beyond just the talk about it, no signs of that actually happening, right? So, but you're right. On a base level, Kim playing really good defense, it's something they really need. I agree.
Sam Levitt is with us, Padres pre- and post-game show host here on 97.3 The Fan. And I saw, this was like an hour ago or more, so I've forgotten who it was. But the comment was made, are you prepared for this team to fall back to 500 again?
Oh,
and,
God.
And honestly, I think my answer is no on that, Sammy. I feel like we've gotten some separation definition in the playoff race. And the Padres and Diamondbacks have put some ground between them and the next set of contenders, which are basically the Braves, Mets, and, you know, Cardinals and Giants, who are kind of battling for that last spot right now. Now, it can change. There's still 43 games left. And if you went on a collapse like 21, you're certainly not guaranteed anything at this point. However, I've kind of got my eyes set above and not below at the moment. Do you kind of share that you're kind of looking more at the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, even Brewers and Phillies now, as opposed to necessarily what the Braves and Mets and Cardinals and Giants are doing every day?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, four games is not 10 games. It's not impossible.
No.
But you're right. They've created some cushion for sure. I mean, I don't think at this particular moment you're looking at the wild card cutoff line after the third spot as the thing you're really worried about. They've played so well, and the Diamondbacks, my goodness, have played almost equally as well.
Insane.
Both those teams have created a lot of cushion. Right now, I'd be focused on keep playing well, keep maintaining that cushion. And yes, you are battling for potentially hosting a wild card series. The division is in play. If you can keep it at 2-3 games by the time you get to that series, during the final week of the year in L.A., you're going to have a real shot to go do it. So I'm with you, Ben. I think my sights are a little bit higher than that, and that's a credit to this team because, you know, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, they were in and out of that final wild card spot, and now a four-game cushion feels pretty nice, and you've got, you know, five teams or so battling for that final spot. So I'm with you. My sights are above that, but with that said, they got to, you know, they don't have to win 16 out of 19 the rest of the way, that kind of pace, but they've got to keep playing well and at least maintain that cushion. But yes, if you're a Padres fan, I think at this moment, you should feel good about where they are and this team's ability and at this point likeliness to make the postseason. I think that's a very fair way to feel. They got to keep playing well.
If you go into the game tonight or anytime this series against the Pirates, be sure to stop by, say hi to Sam in the loft at the Western Metal Supply Company, hour before the game, hour plus sometimes after the game on the post game show. He'll be there tonight starting at 5:40 p.m. for the 6:40 start. Sammy, thank you very much. We'll chat with you again soon.
All right, guys, you got it. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Sam Levitt with us. And, you know, again, the Padres have put themselves in a good enough position where if they played 500, well, 43 games, they can't play 500, but 22 and 21, they would finish with 88 wins at that point. That's 500 ball. They're playing much better than that, though, and I'd like to think that they could continue to play better than that. Maybe not quite 16 and 2, but, you know, continue to win series as they've done, what, 7 series in a row?
Yeah, man.
Diamondbacks have won 8 series in a row, but 7 series in a row. You keep winning series. You don't have to go on a long winning streak. you can get into the 90s, even maybe even mid-90s of wins with a strong finish. And that should give you, that would definitely get you into the playoffs. That should give you an opportunity to maybe challenge for a division title and a home series in the playoffs as well. That, to me, is the goal at this point for the Padres. You know, 26-17 the rest of the way.
That would be amazing.
That would get you to 92.
I mean, and who would have 11 more wins than anybody thought you were going to get.
That's not an insane. That's less than the pace you've been playing by far since the All-Star break. That's just generally winning series and playing decent baseball the rest of the way. You can definitely get into the 90s and give yourself a shot at a division title.
Boy, that off day on Thursday is going to hit so good for those guys. They need it desperately. The bullpen needs it. You know, you got three against the Pirates who you swept. They just got swept by the Dodgers again. They're going to be hungry to get a win, man. It doesn't matter. Their season's probably over, but they're going to want to beat you, and especially with all the fireworks that went down last time. But, Ben, I need you on Friday morning at 10 a.m. I need you to hit me over the head with a hammer and wake me up on Monday. Because
you don't want to even pay attention to the Rocky series.
I swear to God, yeah. I don't even want to watch it. After what I saw happen yesterday to the Atlanta Braves in Coors Field, I don't even want to watch this.
It already happened to the Padres.
It already happened.
The Braves gave up 7 in the 8th to lose it 9-8. I mean, we saw that game back in what, April, May?
Hit me over there.
We saw that game already. We don't need it again.
Hammer me.
And then they don't have to play the Rockies ever again.
Thank God.
At least not until 2025.
Can they contract that team?
Bud Black, if you're listening, we love you.
We love you, buddy.
Thank you for being a tier one. Don't do it to us again.
I'm begging you.
All right, Italian Paul
with
his report coming up next here on The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.